You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. The I'm not feeling 100% edition.
Well, then that matches me because I'm never looking 100%.
Oh, yeah, I look it. I just don't feel it. So, woo. I'm telling you, I don't know what's going on. I've had more sickness in the last 6 months, I think, than I've had in the last 6 years. I don't know what's going on. So, just got some body aches, a little bit of a headache today.
I think it could be the boomerang effect of calling me Smokey O'Rose.
That could be.
That's it.
It could be. It's the judgment of God.
The stone is rolled upon the builders.
Yeah, that's right. You're not kidding.
Or something like that.
Something like that. That or kissing on four grandkids whose nose are running all the time and shaking hands with 300 people
bit,
a day.
That may have a little bit
something.
To do with it.
Something. So, yeah, Ruthie just got over something, and I thought, I made it. And then, oh, the day she said, I feel great. I get it. So, I don't know. But my best friend, NyQuil, and I will be taking a long nap
there
this afternoon.
There you go. What you need is a good ticking alarm clock right next to your bed.
Oh, no, I'd blow my brains out. Wow. No. Good. How you doing?
I am doing great.
Grid.
Got a lot of good things going on and excited about spring, starting new stuff. So
Yeah. Had a great day Sunday at Bible Baptist Church. My first time back in the pulpit in the church.
Amen.
In 5 years. Yeah, it was good. We had a great crowd. Some folks came in from out of town and
Amen.
Some folks stayed for the second service. So yeah, it was really good. I really
Amen.
Enjoyed it. And our folks were great. It was awesome. So
praise
the
Lord.
It was really good. A lot of our folks that have been there a long time. It was kind of a good reunion time and yeah, really appreciated it. So it was good.
Wonderful.
Good time.
Yeah, we had about, I think, 4 or 5 new visitors and about 7 or 8 returning, you know, people.
Nice.
Who, you know, that probably knew this year. And so
nice.
So that was pleasant to see. And we had, man, the Lord blessed. We had good services in spite of my preaching.
Yeah. I love when people come back. That's so exciting.
Amen.
And, you know, it's a good thing for the church, you know, and when they come and stay, wow, there's not much better. So,
yep.
Well, let me ask you, are you trying to lead them to Christ or are you just hoping that they'll find the gospel on their own?
Oh, man, I am actively
leading the Lord.
Trying to lead them to Christ. There's 2 or 3 that I know the Lord's working on. I know the Lord's working on, and they're coming back and they're really listening. Man, you know, it's just like, get it over the edge, you know.
Yeah. So you're interfering with the divine will of God and trying to bring people into the kingdom that maybe he doesn't even want there.
No, I am fulfilling the divine will of God by giving everybody the gospel that I know.
There you go. Well, if you haven't picked it up yet, we're talking Calvinism this week. This has been a long time coming.
Yes.
And we've had a number of people ask us for this, and we kind of put it off because it's some deep stuff. It's not really deep. They try to make it deep, but it is confusing. I find it confusing, the terminology and all that stuff.
Well, we did this about maybe a year ago where we got into the technicalities of Calvinism, but we sort of want to go a different direction, more of the application. We'll look at the underlying principles of Calvinism and then look more this week at the application of it.
Yeah, absolutely. The history of this comes from the Protestant Reformation, a big part of it. So sometimes when you know where it comes from, that gives great indication. Men who'd come out of the Catholic Church, Zwingli is a name that you'll hear with Calvinism, John Knox, Calvinism. Those are all Protestants.
Yes.
And a Protestant is somebody who protested against the Catholic Church. We are not Protestants.
That's right.
We're independent Baptists. We're Baptists. We didn't come out of the Catholic Church. We've been around before the Catholic Church.
Yes.
The doctrine of the Baptist Church goes all the way back to the first church, and that's been proven historically by other groups besides us. And so that's where it starts. When you start wrong, you're going to finish wrong.
Absolutely. You can check out the Waldensians, the Henricians, the Paulicians, and on and on and on. Many, many different names of groups that had been persecuted and had been hated. About the only documentation that's around is from the Roman Catholic Church and maybe some other opponents of what was going on. And so, how much they hated those that hold to the basic, Baptistic beliefs that we hold. So we don't have a pedigree where you can, like a dog, here's your lineage, but it's a spiritual lineage that goes back to doctrines that agree.
Yeah, yeah. Another term that you'll hear is reform.
Yes.
Dutch Christian Reform, Reform Baptist. And that term comes from the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, the reform of the church, the redoing of the Catholic Church, the thesis, on the door of the church, all of that. So it's coming from that background. And you're coming from a group of people that were looking for a right salvation. They were looking for, I think, a right baptism. They were looking for a right polity. But I don't know how that got in. I think in a desire to really be clear on salvation and what God wanted, they messed it up. It was right there, and they messed it up. They went too far. And I don't know about you, but anybody that talks to me of Calvinism and is in favor of it are usually people that think they are intelligentsia, that this is very deep, and you have to be very deep to get this, and you have to be a great scholar, and you don't need that. But that's, I think, most people that get involved in this stuff.
Yeah, it seems to be that way. I think it tends to help people. I've said it before. It tends to help people feel like they've got God figured out. They don't have to be troubled inside of not being able to figure out God. They've got it all settled so they can sit back and relax and put their mind at ease. And that's the last thing that we need to be doing, because God's thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. Yet we can have the mind of Christ as we study Scripture. So as we go into this here real quickly, Calvinism is not Bible doctrine. Calvinism is a man's understanding of Bible doctrine. So let's say, you and I start talking about Timism. Really, Tim Hortons needs to be an integral part of your life. And so, and I start saying, no, tea needs to be a real important part of your life. And so we try to find these Bible studies. We've both been in the ministry over 40 years, and so now we're going to make this big compendium of books that you're going to integrate into Timism, and I'm going to integrate into Teism, and and so now people are going to say, okay, which are you? Are you a Tim or are you a T? And you can be neither. You can be somebody who just obeys the Bible. And so this is what Calvinism is. Calvinism, and then Arminianism. That's a guy that was after John Calvin. And so, he came up with some doctrines to combat Calvinism and their errors.
Right.
And then he went too far. And so, I always say, if I write a book, I'm only going to believe about 90% of it.
Yeah. Can I just say that to really get a really good understanding of this, you can go to a little educational program called Baptist Ed. There is a great video there about this. You did a great job on that. And it really does. It really does help. And you still have your site up, BaptistEd.com?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Go over there and look this up. I'm telling you, how long is it? 10 minutes?
Oh, 15? No, maybe six minutes.
Yeah. But 6 minutes to really get a good understanding of where this comes from and what this entails. It doesn't give you the deep inside, you know, details.
No, I never would.
But it definitely
would.
Gives you a great overview.
I'm not capable of it.
Oh, well, neither are Calvinists. That's the problem. So we'll get to this at length, but since we're setting this up, the big problem with Calvinism is that it almost leads us to believe that we shouldn't try to lead people to Jesus Christ. God will call who he wants, and you don't want to interfere with that. You don't want to bring people into that light that God may not want in that realm of salvation. And so you don't push for people to get saved. You give the gospel, but you don't try to entice people to receive the gospel. Would that be a fair kind of summarization?
Yeah.
It's pretty broad.
Yeah. The problem is there are so many factions of Calvinism. There's so many factions. There are soul-winning Calvinists. There are many people that are Calvinists by belief, but not by practice. And so, you know, it'd be sort of like saying, now, because it's been so long, it'd be like saying a Republican. Okay, what kind? You know, are you a ultra MAGA? Are you a rhino? Are you a somebody that just believes in tariffs and is really loose socially? Are you? I mean, just there are so many derivatives of this large group, and so whenever you have a large group of Calvinists and Calvinism, there are so many factions inside of that. I believe that they're just like any Independent Baptist Church, there are groups that I don't believe are saved according to what they say, because they believe in baby baptism. But then there are groups that actually go out soul winning and send out missionaries, and you know they are involved in trying to reach the lost. But the whole movement as a whole, the basic tenets of it, I believe are intentionally deceptive. There are many Calvinists now that they just like Reformed theology and they don't really bother with the tulip.
Right, right. And there has been a revamp of Calvinism over the last few years that kind of gives the implication that if you want to go to a bar and drink, that's okay, because under the realm of, you know, God's predestination and God's mercy and grace, it's okay as long as you're trying to live for God and you're trying to give a testimony of Christ in that's okay. That kind of idea. Again, these are going to be very broad and we're not going to pinpoint everything, but it's kind of that idea that the mercy and grace of God and the predestination of God allows you to do things that normally we would call sin or we would call, you know, apostate. And so you've got that coming into that as well today.
Yeah, so let's hit the tulip real quick and then we'll sort of dispense with that for the week. So the word T-U-L-I-P, that's the basic five core doctrines and belief. Now, as I say this, you know, there are many Reformed people, many Calvinist people that will say, no, that's an unfair assessment. So I'm going to tell you, I'm biased, and so I'm going to give you this in my opinion of what their doctrine teaches here. So the T for total depravity, that means man is totally depraved. We are totally sinful. Now, we would say, amen, I believe in that, but whenever you extend out what they're actually saying, because definitions of words are very vital, whenever you extend out what they're saying you are so sinful, you are incapable of asking the Lord to save you. And so where we would say, hey, I believe that man is totally depraved. Amen. That's true.
Yep.
You know, look,
amen.
Look at all the scriptures. However, what they mean is you are so depraved, you are incapable of even asking God to save you, because that is a work.
Right. And again, like most counterfeit things, there are some things that are right. There are some things that are close. There are some things that we'd say, yes, we agree with, but they take it a step or two or three farther, and that's where we begin to have problems and draw away from that.
Yeah, the application of it.
Right. And I should say this, too, that we are neither Calvinists nor Arminianists.
Yeah.
We're in between those
Biblicist.
Two, right? Yes. So they're both there and fighting against each other, but we're in the middle of that thing. And we would say yes to some of that the TULIP principles, and we'd say yes to some of the Arminian doctrine, but not 100% on either one. So you mentioned TULIP.
So the second letter, U, unconditional election. And so I do not like the term free will, but man does have a will. An unconditional election basically means what God has designed is going to happen. And so we would look at that and say, well, amen, it's true. But so it's saying that God has already chosen or designed who will be saved. Now, where we will say, yeah, God knows, but they believe that knowledge means activity. In other words, God has already ordained it. He's already prepared it. Because of his foreknowledge, you don't have a choice. And that goes against so much of Scripture where the Bible says, repent, turn, come to me. But yet, unconditional election teaches, and again, broadly, it teaches that those who are going to get saved no matter what.
Right.
Those that are destined to go to hell, it doesn't even matter if you give them the gospel because that's where they're headed.
Right. And the idea is that nature, people through nature, maybe through hearing the gospel, will have an interest piqued in the gospel, and they will search that out. But it's not me knocking on a door and saying, hey, I want to show you how to have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's an interference with God's plan.
Yeah, according to some, absolutely. The L, limited atonement. And that is clearly dispelled in Scripture, that he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And so the fact is that the underlying basic premise is that Jesus, when he died on the cross, he only died for those who were going to be saved.
Right, right.
So there was a limit. It wasn't the fact that it's truly offered to all. So you've got to go to those verses which say that, Christ died for all and say, well, all doesn't really mean all.
Right, right. And that interrupts the justness of God. God created a whole world that he said, yeah, I'm just going to let them die and go to hell. Purposely, intentionally, I created them so they could go to hell. No, that's not a God of love. That doesn't make sense. Now, the judgment is if you reject God, yeah, you're going to face that. But his desire is that all men might be saved. That's why Christ came.
Yes.
That all men might be saved. And that's where we differ. All right, let's leave it there. We'll pick it up on Wednesday.
Get the two, and then that way we don't have to mess with it. All right, irresistible grace.
Okay.
That means that God's grace comes upon you, and there's no fighting it. If God wants you to be saved, you're going to be saved. It's irresistible.
Right.
And then P is the perseverance of the saints. We believe in the preservation of the saints. And because we are saved, we will persevere. Those that are saved are going to persevere in their walk with Christ. But the perseverance of the saints really is pretty much like you better make sure that you dot all your I's and cross all your T's, because if not, then you're not really saved. It's that fear and dread imposed. You had better persevere or else.
Right. Yeah, you're going to lose your salvation that you don't know if you had in the first place.
Yeah.
Wow. It's kind of sad. We'll leave it there. We'll pick it up on Wednesday. Great conversation. This is some heavy stuff. This isn't our usual, joke around time, but...
yeah, it is.
This is good. People need this. And I'll be honest. it is. Yeah, it always is. It's good for folks to hear this and beware of this. If it creeps into a church, I've seen churches that have literally died because of Calvinism. There was no outreach. There was no desire for evangelism. and the church died out. So that's the fear, and that's what we battle against. So be careful. I'm Al Stone, and I am having the time of my life in Michigan, and great missions conference here at Prairie Baptist Church. And God's been good, and I'm glad you're along with us.
This is Dan Wolven in Columbus, Ohio. Again, please give us a rating and review. Make sure you subscribe on your favorite podcast listening platform.
There you go. This is Tim Talks. We'll be back on Wednesday. Have a great day, eh?
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.